Welcome, Josh Alper from ProFootballTalk.com. How are you doing this morning, Josh?
Great. How are you guys?
Excellent, thanks. Appreciate you joining us. So this is the final game of Week 12. How surprised are you, based on where we've come from and to where we are now, that all 32 teams have been able to play, well, in some cases 12, but in most cases all 11 of their games?
Well, I think it's probably would have gotten longer odds on something happening, but I think you see this week how hard the NFL has worked to make sure every game gets played. It was easier earlier in the season to move some stuff around with byes. You know, that's obviously not a possibility now, and I think everyone would like to avoid that week 18 scenario where, you know, then you start talking about adding playoff teams and other things get involved that make this even messier. But, you know, I think that when you see how hard they've worked to make this happen and to push a game, essentially to push a game a full week in order to make it happen, shows that the NFL is going to do anything it can to get this season, you know, slam this season in and get it done. And with 5 weeks to go, you have to like their chances of getting it done if these are the kinds of steps they're willing to take.
We've just passed American Thanksgiving, Josh. Christmas is on the horizon. Unfortunately, is the worst to come as far as COVID?
You know, that's what the health officials are saying, but I think you're going to start seeing teams. You know, you saw that everybody took a two-day break other than the Ravens and Steelers here to kick off this week and, you know, stay out of the facilities and clear some time. And you'd hope that everyone's following better practices than we saw with the Ravens and the Broncos in the last couple of weeks. And I wouldn't be surprised if teams start moving to quasi-bubbles for certain, you know, certain stretches of time. You're going to see it with the 49ers having to go on the road here. And it wouldn't surprise me if other teams start doing something similar and just having, especially teams that are looking at the playoffs and get everybody into a hotel and, you know, really just commit to, you know, a single-minded focus to grind this out through the end of the season and get it done. And then hopefully, you know, with vaccines and everything else, this is the last we'll have to deal with it.
Talking to Josh Alper from ProFootballTalk.com. Do you think that we're going to see, in the NFL, it seems like every week they're coming out with more and more rules as far as mask wearing on the sidelines, but even as you mentioned, shutting down the team facilities for the first 2 weeks or first 2 days of this week. We got to get to a stage where the teams themselves are going to start isolating a player. In particular, I think maybe quarterbacks, based on what happened with Denver, where that's going to be maybe the rule that they may go by going forward, is they'll just do everything virtually with their quarterback, just not wanting to expose him and the possibility they may have to miss a game.
Yeah, you know, some teams have done that. Some teams have done that all year, and I think that it's a wise way to go. I think you've seen teams stashing extra specialists on the practice squad so that if something happens with a kicker, a punter, you're not left with a running back trying to make a field goal or something like that. I think it would behoove every team to do that. I was frankly surprised to hear that Broncos coach Vic Fangio said that they're not going to start doing that. That seems a little bit crazy to me that after having that experience that you wouldn't go and say to one of the quarterbacks on the team, all right, you're just not around these guys. You're not physically around these guys. You're part of the team. We need you, and that's why we're going to have you, sit by yourself in a room somewhere and take part in all the meetings because we can't have this situation happen for us.
Aside from COVID, have the Ravens been one of the biggest disappointments so far this year, Josh?
I think they have been because I think you wanted to see that offense evolve and grow, and it hasn't. And it is nowhere near as effective as it was last year. They're not as effective running the ball, clearly, and they haven't taken a step forward as a passing team, and that's been a big disappointment. And I think in these last few weeks, you've seen teams pay a little bit less respect to that run game that was so effective last year and effective very early this year. I think that it's been a disappointing year for Baltimore because anytime you don't move forward in the NFL, it's a disappointment, and that's where they are. And they're a team that's stuck. That if things don't get better over the final weeks of the season, you're going to have a lot of questions to answer this offseason about the overall direction that they're going to take because they need to see Lamar Jackson grow as a passer, and they need to see a way to you know, a way forward with him as that franchise quarterback. You're getting close to making decisions about a long-term future with him, and it seems crazy. He was the MVP last year, but if it isn't just, you know, losing some key offensive linemen, obviously, you know, Marshall Yanda retired before the season, Ronnie Stanley went out for the year. Those are huge losses, and they didn't rebound from them well. Is that a big part of it? That's all evaluation the Ravens are going to have to do.
Greg Roman is the offensive coordinator for the Ravens, and I remember last year as Lamar Jackson was having this unbelievable year, he was getting a lot of credit for some of the, you know, some of the schemes, some of what they were doing offensively. How much of this lies on the fact that the Ravens haven't maybe evolved their offense enough? Because as we know in the NFL, if the defensive coordinators and head coaches get enough of a look at an offense, they'll figure out a way to stop them, and you've got to continue to evolve as an offense to keep ahead of the defenses.
Well, I think that's certainly an issue, and I think it is not one that was easy to pull off in this offseason, with how little time you really had to work with players on the field and how little time you had to implement big new systems. You had no preseason games to work with. I think all of those things are factors in the offense perhaps not taking new forms, but I think that it only goes, you know, that only goes so far to explain it. Look, you watch them play week to week. There are opportunities there, and they're not making plays. They're not executing at the same high level that they had in the past. They're turning the ball over more. All of these things are huge factors, and I don't think you can put that all on coaching. I think there's some of it, but I think there are questions about the players that they have and whether they can take on those new roles. And again, it always comes back to the quarterback in the NFL, and it's going to fall on Lamar Jackson heavier than anyone else.
And to your point, is it a little surprising as you look under the hood how thin they are at the skill positions around Lamar Jackson?
Well, you know, look, they've tried with the receivers. They've drafted a bunch of receivers over the last 2 years. But yeah, when you're going and signing Dez Bryant in the middle of the season, it's a pretty damning assessment of the guys that you have and the chemistry that Lamar Jackson has with them. You know, all you heard from the Ravens all offseason was how much Marquise Brown was going to do for them this year. And he hasn't. He hasn't arrived like that. And some of that's on Jackson, some of that's on Brown, some's on Roman. But yeah, they came in this three-headed monster at running back. Mark Ingram looks washed. Gus Edwards and J.K. You know, J.K. Dobbins has looked great, but they don't have that same depth of the attack, and that running game just isn't forcing teams to leave these streaking receivers wide open down the field. They're not challenging teams the same way, and that may get to the offensive line. But it's a multi-system failure for the Ravens, and it's one that's going to take probably more than the next 5 weeks to figure out.
Talking to Josh Alper from ProFootballTalk.com. So if they're able to get through the rest of the regular season, we're going to have an expanded playoff of at least seven teams in each conference. And if they eventually have to cancel some games, maybe even an eighth team. But regardless, do you think that the NFL will move to a NBA/NHL-style bubble for the playoffs? They'll have maybe each of the two conferences play all of their games out of one stadium and isolate teams in hotels, etc.?
You know, as of now, I think it'd be more likely that you're going to have team bubbles and keep everything, you know, that each team is in a hotel, that all they're doing is going from the hotel to the team facility and back, and then traveling if they have to, and still playing at home. But I think that's a real possibility if you have another Ravens-type outbreak. I think that's going to have to be something that moves to the forefront of the conversation, because you're not going to be able to do that in the playoffs. That the competitive imbalance of it would be just impossible to rectify in that situation. And you can't have, you don't want to have a game. You don't want to have the Chiefs playing the Steelers in the AFC Championship game with no Patrick Mahomes or Ben Roethlisberger because, you know, they've been on the COVID list for a positive test or contact with someone who has it.
And on the Steelers side, Josh, how good has that chemistry been between Chase Claypool and Big Ben this year?
It's been great, and I think the chemistry between Ben and Juju's been great, and Deontay Johnson. I think that it really was last year that, you know, watching the team and they I think, equipped themselves much better than anybody expected with Mason Rudolph and Devlin Hodges at quarterback. And that was the big question, is if Roethlisberger comes back, is he going to be the same guy? And is it going to make, you know, is it going to make these receiving, you know, Juju Smith-Schuster had a down year. Is it going to make him back to what he was? And you look at what's happened this year, and it's just a resounding yes. He's, you know, everything has clicked for them offensively, and it's gotten better and better as the year has gone on. And they obviously, that defense, the way they rush passers is just an incredible weapon. I don't know that it makes them a favorite in my mind over the Chiefs, but I certainly would love to see that game in the playoffs.
Mm-hmm. Final one for you. I saw the ratings came out yesterday for the Thanksgiving. The Washington-Dallas game on Thanksgiving Day, the highest-rated NFL game this season. And that includes all the primetime games and games between good teams, not also-ran. I mean, what does that say, Josh, about, A, the you know, how much Americans love football on Thanksgiving, but, B, the power of the brand of the NFC East and the Dallas Cowboys in particular, that's still a highly-rated game, even though it was between two really bad teams?
You know, don't underrate what 8 months of quarantine with a family does when it's Thanksgiving either.
Good point.
You're giving thanks for something else to do.
Yeah.
No, but seriously, the Dallas Cowboy brand is apparently unsullyable because, I mean, if people are turning in droves to watch that game, you know, the Cowboys could put really anything on the field and their star would not be diminished. It's a testament to the brand that they've built, if not the team that they've built in Dallas.
Absolutely. Appreciate the time and the insight, as always. Thanks a lot, and we'll chat down the road.
Have a good one.